Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
Good morning and welcome into the house of the Lord. It's great to be here today. It's great to be praising and worshiping. I can't get enough of that. It really does set the stage and just helps us to enter into the presence of God. Worship and the Word will make you well. Well, today, so much is going on in the kingdom of God, but we're going to be talking about slaying the giant in your life today. So we're gonna revisit an old account in the Bible, but I want to talk today first and set the stage for this, talk about the giants in your land, or let's say the giants in your life. And to do that, we're going to discuss Goliath. He was a so-called champion from a town called Gath, and a giant. He was the giant that the shepherd boy David, who was anointed of long ago, he took that giant down. Now, the giant thought he was large and in charge, okay? But he's going to find out that he was not. And I want to talk to you about the giant in your life for just a minute. Your giant could be fear, it could be insecurity, it could be anger, it could be addiction, but your giant has a name too. Every giant has a name. And every one of us will face the giant at some time in our life. And here's the thing. Goliath would present himself to God's people. And for 40 days and nights, he threatened and taunted God's people. So I want to tell you this. He was like a fire-breathing dragon, and he was threatening. Have you ever felt threatened by the enemy? Like, what's going to happen next? He's threatening. But there was something in there as I was studying this that I was noting that I really hated, that it really bothered me. And it wasn't the word threatening at all. The giant threatened Israel, but he taunted Israel. Let me tell you about what the word taunting means. Made fun of God's people. Are we going to let the giant make fun of us? Are you going to let the addiction? And here's what Goliath did. He presented himself to the people. The giant in your life will present itself to you in the morning when you get up. Is that addiction still there? In the morning when you get up, is that insecurity still there? And then he would do it again at night when they would try to go to sleep. Here comes the giant again. Hey, mocking you. The word taunting means to mock. And Goliath would mock God's people. He was a bully, and he thought he had it all. And here's what he said. He came out and he shouted in 1 Samuel 17:8, and I'm going to give this to my brother in just a second. And he, Goliath, stood and shouted, screaming angrily and pridefully to the armies of Israel. And he said to them, why are you come here? Why do you have your battle all set up? Why do you bother? I'm a Philistine, and you're just servants of Saul. Choose a man for you and let him come down to me. But here's the thing. Here's what Goliath knew. The leader, Saul, was doing nothing. The people were doing nothing. There was no battle going on. They were ready for battle, but there was no battle going on. So church, as leaders and servants of God, we can't just do nothing. So because the giant's going to present himself. But here's the thing. I noticed again that he said that he was loud. The Bible says he was loud. He screamed and screamed and screamed. That's all he did was scream. Church, if your giant's loud, I have a prophetic word for you. Get louder. Church, get louder. Sing it louder. Shout it louder. You can shout louder than the giant can shout praises to God. I know that you can. And, you know, we've all had problems that seem to be with us, but we're going to have to slay the giant. And here's why. And I said this to you a couple weeks ago in Monday night teaching. I have a responsibility, and I better take care of the demons. And I better slay the giants. You know why? Because I got to slay them on behalf of my kids and my grandkids. I want to do it so they don't have to do it. I want to take care of the problem now. I want to take Goliath out now, because you know what happens? Let me tell you something. If you can't deal with the giant of addiction and alcoholism, it's going to pass down to your kids, and they're going to have to deal with it. But if you will stop it, if you will slay the giant in your life, then your kids won't have to. Thank you, Jesus. Pastor Ken, I know you have so much to say about this, about what happened that day on the battlefield.
Well, I think it's so many people's favorite Bible story, what God did for David and how Goliath was defeated, how fear was defeated. But I think it's also such a favorite story because it applies so directly to our lives. You know, I was thinking that, you know, we're thankful for our life, and we are all blessed. We all know we are. When you count your blessings, you truly are extremely blessed. So, and you know that, and you can say amen to that. But there is a flip side to that too, that you are also, in addition to being extremely blessed, you do have many giants in your life. You have situations in your life that are devastating. You have situations in your life that look hopeless. And I have bad news and good news about those situations. And the bad news is actually good news. It doesn't sound like it, but it is. The bad news is there is nothing that you can do in your own strength to solve those problems. Come on, you think about those problems. What if someone told you need to fight harder? You know, you fight harder against what, the ocean? So it is not by might, it's not by power, it's by my spirit, says the Lord. David has no chance of defeating Goliath, you know that. Not in his own strength. Not in his own strength. It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord. So the bad news is there's nothing that you can do, but the good news is God can do all kinds of things. And I don't even know what he's going to do, because you don't even want to tell God, I want you to do this or that. God, you be God. You be God. I'm going out to face Goliath. Maybe lightning's going to come down from heaven. Maybe a rock's going to hit him. But God, you be God. I'm going out there. So let's go through this story. I'm now going to stick to the script. Pam, I'm sticking to the script. I will not go off script. A man named... starts giving me those... You know, she starts... These nonverbal clues. A man named Jesse had sons in Israel's army. And David was the youngest son. He was the one that no one paid attention to because he's the youngest. So he was in charge of tending sheep, which, by the way, his brothers didn't think that was like a really high job. It was like he's a shepherd. But we know from the Bible how beautiful that is, that he learned to protect. He learned to protect. And if you had said that this shepherd boy was going to make headlines, that he's going to be a giant killer, someone would say, no, that's not going to happen. But that is exactly what happened. Now, this story is in the book of Samuel. I think it's chapter 17. So we see David keeping the sheep. And so the father says to him, because the brothers are off at war, he says, now I want you to take this food for your brothers. And so he gave them corn and 10 loaves of bread. And so David was basically Uber Eats that day. And he's going to do that. So Jesse wants David to not only go and feed the sons, but Jesse is such a concerned father. He's worried about his sons. But David, the first step in being a giant killer is simple obedience. David didn't know that his father didn't go say, go kill the giant. His father said, go deliver these sandwiches. So he's got the Jimmy John's. And it says he had cheese. So he's got bread, he's got cheese. It is Jimmy John's. So lesson one is obey the father. And lesson two is he's being a servant to his brothers. He's just going to feed people. The simple act, I'm just going to feed people, and then he's supposed to bring back word to his father. So it said David took the cheese to the captain. So he's bringing a gift for his brother. So I like that, that he's ministering, he's bringing things for his brother. All right, what's next, man?
You know, I love that there's an order to this, and I love so many things about David's life. In order to be a giant killer, we do have to be obedient to the Father, and we do have to be willing to feed the others and the brothers. That's part of it, being a servant. You know, David was prepared for this, and if we're going to kill giants, we've got to be prepared. He was killing lions and bears and things long before he killed the giant, the little things in life, taking care of business, being obedient to God, and especially to follow the instruction of the Father, which you know the Father represents God and David represents Christ. But I want to say something to you personally today. You have what it takes to slay the giants in your life. You were anointed by God just like David. And there's no certain anointing. Well, you know, I'm anointed to do this and you're anointed to do that. There's one anointing and it's the anointing of God. And all of us can partake. We're all anointed. But I want to say it like this. You're anointed and you're appointed for such a time as this to do what's necessary, to take care of the giant in your life. Why would you put up with the taunting, the mocking of the giant? Why would we put up with the threatening of the giants in our life, the things that seem bigger than us that aren't really? And, you know, David, up until now, I want you to think about something. If you think, well, I can't be a giant killer, I don't qualify. David was the least in his family, so to speak. Up until now, do you know that he was completely unknown to Saul or all of Israel? Nobody even knew who he was. The only significant thing that had ever happened in David's life was one thing, and guess what it was? There was this guy, Samuel. He was a prophet and a pastor, and he came to town to have dinner with the family because he was going to anoint someone, pour some oil basically on someone. I'm going to pour some oil on someone. And he told Jesse, he said, you know, get your kids together, get them all together. And they got all the kids together and one by one. And the prophet said, not this one, 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 not this one. And they're like, do you have anybody else? Let me tell you something. David was overlooked by his own father, by his own family. And maybe that's you. Maybe your family overlooks you. They don't think you're all that. They don't think you're all that special, Ken. But you know what? God thinks you are that special. And so here's what happened. They finally went and got David, and he was anointed. And then what happened? He just went back to the fields to keep doing what he was doing. So if you're going to be a giant killer, you're anointed. Just keep doing what you're doing. Just keep obeying to God. But I do want to say something to you personally, whoever you are. And you know what? Your family may have counted you out, and your friends may have counted you out. But I want to tell you, that person sitting next to you today, they are a giant killer if they want to be. And you may be overlooking somebody in your life that's a giant slayer. And so they called David from, you know, they had called David from the field, yada, yada. But God has a plan for each of us, and he has an assignment for each of us, an assignment for you to fulfill. And it's a big one. It's a big one. It's a great assignment in the kingdom of God. And I've said this before. I want to say it. Let me say it one more time. If you give a cup of water to someone in the name of the Lord, and you think that's not much, that's a great thing because God's a great God. So that makes it a great thing. And God has an assignment for each of us. But here's the situation, Ken. They had this battle lined up, and none of the leaders and none of the people were doing anything. And they had this army, and they were in a place called the Valley of Elah. Do you know what Elah means? Elah means worthless and alone. Maybe you feel like you're in a valley right now. Maybe you feel like you're worthless and alone, and there's a giant taunting you, and there's a giant threatening you. But basically, the leaders, they were doing nothing, but they were in this valley. And after this is all over, and David's a giant killer, I never realized this till I was studying this yesterday. Who do you think wrote Psalm 23 that says, though I walk through the valley, maybe Elah, of the shadow of death taunting me, I will fear no evil. Who wrote that? That was David, the giant killer, because he had been in a valley before. But I know you're facing a giant today, but you're a man of God, you're a child of God, and you don't need to put up with the giant anymore. You know, because here's the thing. You have something that the other people don't have. Besides your anointing and your obedience, you have something you're going to need. The rock. You're going to need a rock to kill the giant. Jesus is the rock.
And it's not a fake battle that we're in. I saw a fight once on the TV. It was a real fight. These people were fighting. and one of the guys tried to tap out. You know, like you could tap out when you're in a, you know, when you're wrestling, and you have to stop the fight. This was a real fight, and the guy goes, "You can't tap out. This is a real fight. You can't call time. You can't negotiate with the enemy. You can't ask for the sympathies of the enemy. The truth is, the enemy wants to kill us." You know, I love flying in aviation, so I was really sad to see that accident yesterday, and I don't want to watch that video again, but I did watch. The clip is only 5 seconds long because that's how long it took for everyone to lose their life. The planes are flying. They look fine. All those people are living their best life ever. They're flying. They're in an air show, and 5 seconds later, every one of them were gone, and that's life. And the enemy is trying to kill us. And believe me, Goliath wasn't saying, let's just have a battle for sport. This wasn't just, we're not going to award a cup at the end. Someone's going to win the championship. This is, I'm going to cut your head off kind of stuff. This is, I'm going to kill you. This was a battle to the death. But think about it. David's brothers, who thought they were in the army, you know, they were like in the, like Rambo with the National Guard with fake bullets and stuff. They're coming home talking about their, and David's thinking to himself, well, yeah, I killed a bear today. What'd you do? You know, they're thinking he's just the shepherd boy, but he's like, yeah, a lion came by and, you know, I got my slingshot. You know, you guys are out there playing war. I'm actually being a shepherd. And Jesus is that good shepherd in the Bible. So I said that there's bad news. So how can bad news be good news? How can the fact that there's nothing that you can do about situations be good news? When the doctor says to you, there is nothing more we can do, what should your reaction be? Your reaction should be, praise God. There's nothing the doctors can do, but that doesn't mean there's nothing that Jesus can't do. Come on now. It's like I love that story about the chess expert was at the museum, and they showed him a painting of a chessboard, and the name of it was Checkmate. And they said, how do you like it? Because he was a chess guy. How do you like the painting called Checkmate? He goes, I love the painting. It's beautiful, but it's misnamed. And they said, what do you mean it's misnamed? He said, the king still has one more move on the board. And I always like that when someone says, it's over, it's checkmate, it's done, you can say the king still has one more move. And by the way, that's God's style. Red Sea, he waits till the last minute. Elijah waits till the last minute. Raising Lazarus waits till the late. So he always waits. God just likes to be big. So what was it that put David over the top? Both David was anointed and Saul was anointed. Why couldn't Saul have fought the giants? Or why couldn't have all those soldiers fought the giant? We know that Saul was anointed by God. The difference was simple obedience. Saul was always fighting God and fighting what he was supposed to do. He was always trying to say, this is my plan, God. Would you honor my plan? Saul's plans kept getting in the way of God's plans. So we see the armies are lined up, that they don't want to actually fight one another because they don't want to die on either side. So we've got this standoff where Goliath is just yelling at people and bringing fear into them. And the armies on both sides are basically doing nothing. And that's what the enemy kind of wants you to do, is nothing. He knows you have weapons. He knows you have the name. He knows you have faith. He knows that you have the word. He knows you have intercessory prayer. He knows that you have weapons of your warfare. You have armor to put on. You have a helmet of salvation. You have a shield of faith. You have a sword in the word of God. But if you don't use those things, if the enemy can get you to quake in fear and not go out and fight, and the thing is, in your life, you can begin to pray. If prayer changes things, and it does, then lack of prayer will change nothing. So if you want nothing to happen, just don't pray. But David arrives when there's been this standoff. He hasn't been part of the standoff. It says in 1722, David left his carriage. So the car has arrived, the Uber's arrived, and he's greeted his brothers. Hey, brothers, how are you? And they're like, oh, great. Bring us our food. We're in the army. What are you doing? Aren't you supposed to be taking care of sheep or something? And as they talked, David, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, the destroyer, right? He's got all these names, you know, the Terminator, ladies and gentlemen, undefeated, and spoke according to the same words. The difference, he gave his whole speech and he's taunting everybody. The difference this time is who heard them. This is the first time David heard that. And David's reaction was like, he said what? What? Say that again. Say that. You said what about God? You said what about this army? You said what about us? And it got him angry. The strategy of the enemy was fear that causes paralysis. Satan wants you not to fight. David is young, but he's got that faith. He can't believe that this giant is saying that. And I think David thought that when he heard Goliath say all these things, that the whole army would start running. I think he was really surprised to see people just sitting there shaking in fear. And I think he was disappointed. So we have the weapons, but here's the thing. The Bible talks about David's spirit of faith. We have the same spirit of faith. We believe, and therefore we speak. Let me say that again. Let me change it a little bit. You have that same spirit of faith. We believe, and so we speak. Have that spirit that David had in him, that the battle belongs to the Lord.
So many times the giant does just that, wants to talk, wants to tell you things like, you're not going to make it. This time you're going down. You're not more than a conqueror. You have to stand up for yourself and speak for yourself. The Bible says that if we resist the enemy, he will flee from us. It doesn't say that we are to run. Do you know that the armies ran from this giant? Instead, David ran towards the giant. And that's what we have to do. We have to run towards it. And you know, it was interesting that the men of Israel said in verse 25, said, have you seen this man who's come up? Have you seen him, David? Yeah, David's seen him. He's come up to defy Israel, and he's come up. But it will happen that the man who kills him, the king's going to give him great riches and give him his daughter, and make his father's house free, which means you pay no taxes and you get special honor. And then verse 26, now David's just heard what's going to happen. You're going to get this, you're going to get that. And he says, say it again. What's going to happen to the guy? He makes them repeat it. Okay, he's going to get the daughter. He's going to not have to pay taxes. And for who is this? And David says, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the shame of Israel, the mocking, the shame? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine? By the way, that's a huge, huge key. Uncircumcised means you're not covenant. You're not even one of God's people, and you're a threat. You think you're a threat to us? Wait a minute, that he should defy the armies of the living God? You know, this stirred David's spirit up, and we should be stirred up. When the giant comes against us, we should not operate in fear. Change that emotion to, I have had enough of you. I have already heard what you have to say, Goliath. Yeah, 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 you're going to take my head off. You're going to do this and you're going to do that. You ain't done nothing yet, but you're just mocking and taunting. And all you're doing is talk, 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 blah, blah, blah. You're going to do this. You haven't done it. You're not going to do it. Because guess what? Before you can chop my head off, I'm going to have chopped your head off. That's what David said. He goes, I've got some things to say too. So before you get to me, let me give my speech, because my speech is that I'm going to chop your head off, and you need to know that, like, right now. And here comes David's brothers, by the way. I like the brothers because he's doing such a good thing. He's serving the brothers and the others. And Eliab, one of David's older brothers, he heard what David spoke to the men. You know, David's going to fight this Goliath. And David spoke to the men and was very angry. And, you know, Eliab got even angrier. And he said, why are you here? Why are you here, David? Who did you leave the sheep with? You know, mocking him, just like the giant. Your family may even mock you. The giant may mock you, but you know who you are, right? You know you're anointed, right? Am I right? You know who you're anointed. You know you got an assignment. You know you're a child of God. And here's what he said. You have a wicked heart, David. You just came to see us fight. I would have told Eliab, fight? Are you fighting, Eliab? I haven't seen anything. You're just like the giant. You're just using your mouth and nothing else. But you know what? Eliab misjudged his brother. I'm going to give you a word. Don't misjudge your brother. Don't misjudge your brother. Just because he's David, just because he's obedient to God, don't be calling him a goody-two-shoes Christian. He's a giant killer. Trust me. You're obedient to God. You're anointed. You're a giant. But he misjudged David. But this just stirred David up, and it didn't deter him, by the way. When someone misjudges you, when someone tells you, what are you here for? What do you think you're doing? You think you're all that? You know what? You don't have to concern yourself. David paid no attention to that. It didn't stop him. And Eliab was going to have egg on his face in a few minutes because he didn't know your younger brother is a giant killer. And in a few minutes, in about 20 minutes, you're going to see him cut the head off of the giant that you came to fight, but you couldn't get the job done, Eliab. You know what? We need to fight the giant in our land on behalf of the others because this saved a nation.
So because there's things that's beyond our abilities, and Frieda, when you were speaking this morning, I believe you were speaking prophetically when you were talking about the anointing falling on us. Because that, by the way, when you were saying that, I was at the altar, I was praying that exact same thing that you were saying. So that was a confirmation. But I was thinking to myself, as at the altar, there are situations that's so beyond my physical strength and my abilities to handle. I just can't solve these problems in my human strength. And I can't think of any doctors or lawyers that can solve the problems. But God, your anointing fall on me. I need to be anointed like David was anointed. And he was anointed with oil, but he was chosen by God, and God watched over him. David knew he was anointed. And Pam said, don't misjudge your brother. That means look around this church and you go, that's just Pam. That's just Leslie. That's just Alan. We know these people. They pay bills like everyone else. They have problems like everyone else. Don't misjudge yourself that you have all these weapons at your disposal. That I heard of a town once that there was a town bully, and I don't mean just a bully. It was like an adult bully that people were afraid of this guy. And he had terrorized this town. Everybody hated him, and for years he got by with just terrorizing people, and like this army, they did nothing. And one day they found his body, and it looked like about 10 people had just went to town on him, and the police found no evidence. No one knew anything, but everyone knew what had happened. The town had decided they had had enough of this guy and said, why is one guy running this whole town? And why? And of course, they took care of it. There has to come a point in our life where the enemy says to you, lay down and let me run over you. Just lay in the ground and I'll run over you and you don't say anything. Just let me take out your left eye and you won't be able to fight. Then we'll compromise. The enemy wants you to not fight, and there just has to be a time when I say, I will pray for my family, I will pray for my brothers, I will pray for my... Prayer changes things, folks. Prayer changes things. It allows... You are giving God because you're agreeing. You're releasing God. I was going to say you give God permission to act, but it's better to say you release God. He wants to act on your behalf. He wanted to act on Saul's behalf. And if Saul would have went out into that battlefield, he could have been. But David is ready to go and fight. Now watch what happened. What do you think happened when David said, I'm going to go fight the giant? You think his brother said, yay, David? No, they criticized him. You ever notice that? When you get in faith, people will criticize. Don't let people criticize your faith, and certainly don't criticize other people's faith. If someone comes up to you and they say, I just read this book, I am so excited, don't you dare throw water on them and tell them, oh, that'll fade away in a little while. You know, we want to keep our faith up as high as it can be. And think about it. Everyone that was out there was just watching, But it wasn't just David versus Goliath. I like the fact that the whole Philistine army is getting a play-by-play announcement. And at first, things are looking really good. Goliath is keeping the whole... They're afraid. And then all of a sudden, something starts to change, and they're going to see this change. Now, David offers to fight the giant, and I'll say this about fighting the giant. I've hardly ever gotten into fights in my life, but the few times I have, I was afraid, but there was a cause. There was a cause. One time, some friends of mine were being beat up, and of course, I don't want to fight, but there was a cause. There was someone that was being injured. I can stand up and do the right thing. So I jumped into the fight just as crazy as I can, trying to pretend like I'm Bruce Lee. I was yelling. I don't know how to fight. I was just kicking and screaming. If you'd seen it on tape, it'd be embarrassing. I just went full Ken. You know, I just went nuts. But sometimes what David, when he was criticized, did he actually say, is there not a cause, Pam? Is there not a cause? Sometimes we have to stand up and fight, and the enemy isn't expecting it, and you'll see. If you stand up and fight, you're going to find out the enemy's a coward. Eventually, the whole army of the Philistines is going to show us how fast they can run. But we got to get to that point.
Yes, you know, I want to say this, and this just makes it so clear. The people of Israel believed that this giant was too big to kill. But David believed the giant was too big to miss. It's perspective, people. It's perspective. What you think is too big to kill, David believed the giant was too big to miss. You got to have the faith in your heart and say, and here's David. He's like, there was literally nobody else willing to fight the giant. And you may have thought that David went to feed the brothers and the others, but let me just tell you something about being in the kingdom of God. You maybe think you're going to do one thing. I can't tell you how many times I've thought I was at the restaurant. Remember the time I told you I was at the restaurant and I was hugging my daughter and instantly you decided I'm going to hug this other girl just randomly. And she said, I had wished you would. I mean, you may think you're on a mission to do one thing, but as Christians, we can multitask, can't we? We can do more things because God gives us that ability. So he wasn't just there to feed people. That's just part of it. He was there to slay a giant. He was on an assignment that he didn't know he was about to get. But he decides to volunteer to fight the giant. And I love that. Somebody has to volunteer. Somebody has to say, okay, if you're not going to do this, I'm going to stand up. If you won't stand up, I will stand up. So, you know, and you are going to get criticized. Can I tell you, you are going to get criticized? And Joel Osteen calls it the naysayers. They're out there. They're going to stay out there. They're going to be the discouragers, the people who speak. But you know what? You're a man and woman of faith, and you don't have to pay any attention to that. Don't ever tell a man or a woman of faith that they can't do something, because I can tell you I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And nothing is impossible. All things are possible with God. And, you know, I believe that David was indeed concerned about the giant, afraid, if you will, because courage is not that you don't have fear. It's doing it in spite of the fear. It's in spite of the fear. I say it like this. You may be shaking as you go out to the giant. Addiction, I've dealt with you long enough, and I'm tired of this, and I'm going to make that step to go to rehab, or I'm going to go before God. You may be shaking like this, but your faith is not shaken. There's a difference. Do not let yourself be shaken. You may be shaken, but it's not the absence of fear. It really is the presence of God, the anointing of God in your life, and you do have to stand up. And, you know, I said to you before when I was teaching on the man at the pool of Bethesda when Jesus came and he said, rise up, take up your bed and walk. That was not a physical act. He never told him to stand up like this. That's physical. He said, rise up. That's a spiritual thing. That's resurrection. He said, get up with resurrection power and start walking and do it now and even carry your bed. So David was prepared for this, for such a time as this, just like Esther. And, you know, the Philistines came closer to David and, you know, Goliath looked in disgust. And remember the speech Goliath had and then David had one, Ken? So you can kind of wrap this up and tell us.
I love it.
Okay, yeah, we're getting to the real good part, and we don't have too much more. We'll kind of finish out the story. Before I do, I was reminded of Brother Hagin's testimony. I want to put yourself in his position. He's 17 years old. He's not a pastor. He doesn't know anything. He's just 17. He's a 17-year-old boy. And the doctors have said, there's nothing we can do. You will eventually pass away. And fortunately, sarcastically, very unfortunately, his pastor came to see him and gave him the good news that he was about to die and he's going to go see Jesus and you'll soon be in heaven. Gave him no hope. His pastor did not say, we're going to pray the prayer. Nope. Gave him no hope. And so here's a 17-year-old kid laying in a bed waiting to die, but he knew the Word of God. And he was reading the Word of God. And he read that there was a woman with an issue of blood that said to herself, if I could touch the hem of his garment, that I would be healed. And Jesus told her, your faith has made you whole. And Brother Hagin said, this is 17-year-old him, if her faith made her whole, my faith will make me whole. He took a simple concept of Scripture, and it only takes one Scripture. You don't have to memorize. You just need one Scripture. One Scripture can get you over the edge. Lillian Yeoman said that about healing. One Scripture. Himself took our infirmities. So that was all she needed and bore our diseases. So anyway, back to the story. The speeches. And by the way, they're not trash talking to one another. They want people to hear. Remember, he's yelling this. They've got an audience. They've got pay-per-view. Everyone's watching this. The Philistine slowly walked closer and closer to David. I like that he did it slowly. He's like, this is an unknown factor here, right? Here comes someone without armor towards me. Maybe, you know, you got to be careful. So there's just a hint of, well, okay, someone's challenging me. Goliath looked at David with disgust and saw that David was only a handsome, healthy boy. He's a boy. He's a kid. Talking about kids. Goliath said to David, what is that stick for? Oh, this is a high-velocity slingshot. You're about to find out. Did you come to chase me away like a dog? Then Goliath used the names of his gods to say curses against David. By the way, don't worry if people are cursing you. An undeserved curse returns to the sender. That's called a boomerang. You say people, oh, Pastor Ken, there's witches again. No, don't worry about it. He said to David, come here and I will feed your body to the birds and to the wild animals. Okay, well, we've been hearing all this garbage. Like, okay, we've heard all that. Now it's David's turn. And he gets the megaphone out. I'm sure he wants the Philistine army to hear this. You come to me with a sword. Yeah, that could easily kill David. And a spear. Goliath's got all these weapons. You got a spear, yep, could kill you with that. And you've got a javelin. So, I mean, he's loaded. Goliath is loaded for bear here. But I come to you in the name of the Lord all-powerful, the God of the armies of Israel. And you've said bad things about him, about God. Today the Lord will let me defeat you. I will kill you. I will cut off your head and feed your body to the birds and wild animals. Now, I want to point out that David didn't have a sword, but he's still going to, all he has is a stick. David fully intended to take Goliath's sword away from him. That was the plan, and David doesn't need a sword. Goliath brought the sword so that he could cut his own head off. One person took a stand, and I said this is going to be my last thing to say. I believe that the bigger story, the great story that Goliath dies, is that army of the Philistines, and of course the army of Israel that saw a man that took a stand of faith, and they're all wishing they had done that. But the army of Philistines was watching, And they ran just based on what David did. It caused so much fear that I can imagine that a panic, that's the enemy. The enemy is a coward. And if you resist the devil, he will flee from you. So today, this church, y'all are filled with the same spirit of faith that David had. And it's not your battle. I don't care if you don't know about a slingshot or whatever. God can cause a rock. The rock is what killed Goliath. And Jesus is the rock that comes out of heaven that we read in Revelation. There's a rock coming out of heaven. And it's Jesus. And it was the rock that Moses struck the rock. And water came out. Because when you take the whip and you bring it down on the back of the rock, water comes out. Healing comes out. Hallelujah. Our God will do the same thing for us, but we have to pray down that anointing, pray down that infilling. What's tomorrow night, Pam?
Oh, we don't know.
We don't know yet. Next week we're going to be doing. I'm going to be doing a message on the tabernacle and how we're the tabernacle of God. So I've been preparing for that. So come next week. It's going to be a powerful message on the tabernacle. At some point, and I don't know, we're going to get with Debbie. We want to do a greater memorial for Pastor Gill. We're not going to do that next week, but we are going to do that where we're going to share some testimonies of Brother Gill. We want Debbie to share some more. We're going to have some slideshows, and we're going to continue to honor the memory of Brother Gill. The things that he taught and the lessons, he was an example, and so I'm looking forward to that too.
So we're getting ready to close. I'm going to close out in prayer, but I want to say this about you. Moses in the Bible felt like he was unqualified. Gideon felt like he was unqualified. Esther also. If you had looked in the Israeli high school handbook, next to David's picture, it would have said, least likely to become a giant killer. I told you the story about when I was at the high school reunion, and they had us all lined up, and they had us, you know, giving our professions. And when I said I was a minister, they just, you know, least likely. It would have been least likely to become a minister right here. And maybe the enemy has next to your name. Maybe you feel like you're least likely to be a giant killer, but I'm telling you that that's just a lie of the enemy. You are more than qualified, more than a conqueror. So let's stand and go before the Lord. Father, we just thank you, Jesus, that you have anointed us and appointed us to do great things in the kingdom of God, to do the impossible, Father God, with you. And though David took the slingshot into his hand and he took it in faith, but the anointing of God is what directed it to hit the mark. He had no, how would he know, Father God? But you guided that missile, that you took that rock and it hit its mark right on his head. And then he cut the head off of the giant. Father God, that's what we need to do in our life regarding things like fear and doubt and insecurity and unbelief and addictions, Father God. We put up with things far too long, Father God. We just listen to the word of the enemy above the word of the Lord. And Father God, we believe your report. Whose report will we believe? We believe you, God. We don't. We will not put up with the mocking anymore. We will not put up with the threatening anymore. Maybe someone's threatening you or taunting you or looking down on you. You're not someone to be looked down on. You are the royalty. You are a royal generation, a priesthood. You are more than a conqueror. So we're going to go in faith today, Father God, asking you to be with us as we pick up that slingshot. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Be blessed, everybody. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.